Blog Talk Radio.
We would have you understand that the flame that you are burns eternally and shall never go out, no matter how bright you allow yourself to become. We shall have you understand that you exist now and always shall, and you always have, because now is the only time and the only place and the only existence there is and always has been and ever shall be. You are eternal. You are infinite. You are spirit. You are body. You are mind. You are heart. You are soul. You are an idea. You are an expression. You are a thought. You are a dream of the infinite creation. But that is reality, and all reality is couched within your dream. You contain it all. You are the whole expression in your own individualized way. You are the matrix. The matrix is you. You are everything. Everything comes from you. Everything gives birth to you as you reinforce the existence of everything and everyone. All that is, the infinite creation, the fabric of existence, chose you. Chose that you should exist. Chose you. Consciously chose you. You are in that way, therefore, blessed. And we would have you understand that. Simply because of the fact that you exist, you are blessed. For you are created out of divine material, out of divine light. You are the infinite creator. And your existence was a conscious decision, a conscious thing, a conscious choice. Act in like manner. Be of like mind. Respect yourselves. Love yourselves unconditionally. For out of unconditional love were you created. And out of unconditional love shall you create anything you desire. Begin to feel the energy of your interlinking with all thought forms, all consciousness, all civilizations, all eyes, all ideas, all mind, all heart, all soul, all spirit is one. And you are one within that sea, within that pool. Know that you are the fabric and the essence of the galactic energy. Not one of you, in that sense, can be removed from the matrix without the collapse of the entire structure. You are integral in that way. You are essential in that way. And we would have you understand that because you are interconnected in this way, because everything you do has impact within the entirety of creation, that you deserve to exist in this way, and you deserve to be the fullest individual you can imagine yourself to be. That you deserve to manifest all the things you can conceive of. That you deserve the existence you have been given, or it would not have been granted to you. That you deserve all the love you can imagine, because love is what you are made out of. That you deserve all the light you can create in your life, because light is what you are made out of. Feel in the beating of your heart that it keeps pace with the rhythm and the pulse of the spinning of all the galaxies, of the fabric of existence itself, of the universal heart of infinite creation. For you all beat within that heart, and not a one of you is outside the heart of all that is. You are the blood and the life force of God itself. It is your force and your life as well. You are it, and it is you. Out of your dreams, be born. Out of your heart, be alive. Out of your soul, be light. For you are nothing else.
And welcome to Revolutionary Life, radio show where we look at everything in our lives, especially important things, from a revolutionary view. And revolution is nothing but change. And there's a lot of things out there need changing. And we're going to talk about some of them. One of the things that we're going to address tonight is this picture that we see, depiction that we've seen most of our lives of Jesus of Nazareth, the one they call the Christ. And there's a lot of controversy. I've seen a couple of videos and talked to a couple of people who have a lot of issues with the fact that the depiction of Jesus Cristo, the depiction of Jesus Christ that most of us have seen since childhood, is a picture of a European, not a Middle Eastern, and it represents more of the Caucasian phenotype, the Caucasian shaped face and everything, and hair and eyes and all the rest. And so it gives the impression that Jesus Christ looked very much like today's European or Caucasian race of people, white people. Let's put it that way, make it short. And so some people are very upset about that. Some people have a lot of issues with it. And when I've discussed it with folks, usually two primary things come out of our discussion. And we're going to discuss those two things tonight. Thank you for logging in to Revolutionary Life tonight. We get down to this big controversy I keep running into about what race Jesus Christ was. And so we're going to address this tonight. And basically, we're going to deal with just two issues, but that comes up, two primary issues that comes up when the subject is discussed. So get your pencil and paper ready. Get ready to do our call-in at the end of the call. At the call-in period of the show, I will announce that and provide you enough to do that call-in. We hear every night from 7 to 9. And you don't really know what subject we got unless you check in on my Facebook page and you head up for the upcoming presentation. And so tonight, why is this picture of Christ, this depiction of Jesus Christ, so controversial? Chew on that for a minute. When I come back, we're going to get down on that subject matter. And let's see what we got. Let's see what these two issues will lead us. Welcome to Revolutionary Life. This is Terry Speech. We're here every night, every weekday night, from 7 to 9. And you never know what we're going to talk about. But we talk about revolutionary issues. I give you to it in, give it to you in general. In Henny Rise, we talk about revolutionary issues, issues of change, and issues that concern things to concern, that is of concern to our communities and our individual selves. And we'll see if we can make sense of some things by looking at it from a revolutionary point of view. And revolution ain't nothing but change. The revolutionary knows change is inevitable. Revolutionary puts himself on the vanguard of that change. That's all. That's what makes the difference between a revolutionary and someone who wants to hold back change, impossible, a reactionary. Welcome back to Revolutionary Life. Tonight, we're talking about that picture that most of us have seen most of our lives in our homes and places of worship. If you are of a Judeo-Christian faith, you know exactly what I'm talking about. There's a controversy about the way Jesus is depicted in those drawings and pictures. Now, the picture I posted and the pictures and others like it look very much like the one my grandmother kept high up on her wall. And as I come up as a kid, I was told that that was Jesus of Nazareth, the one they call the Christ. I was told that that was our Savior. I was told that our Savior was called Jesus. And that, as she pointed to the picture on the wall, is what he looked like. It's a picture of him. As a young kid, I had no reason to doubt that. These were grown-ups. These were people I loved and trust. If they believed, if they said Jesus and then associated that word, that name, that history with that picture on the wall, I had no reason to dispute that. As far as I was concerned as a little kid, if you walked up to me in a room full of pictures and told me to pick out a picture of Jesus Christ, I would have went to that picture that reminded me of the one on my grandmother's wall. I would have automatically. And my grandmother would have too, by the way. So it wasn't just little kids. It was grown ups I saw who would pick that picture out of a million different types of pictures if someone told them to go up there and pick out the picture of Jesus Christ. So I had no reason to believe that was not the face of my Savior, Jesus Cristo. No reason to believe that was not true. As I grew older, and to this day, Not just as I grew older and learned more, but to this day, when you call that name, in my mind, that picture pops up. And if that's the same for you, I'm talking about. Now, two issues come up. Two primary issues come up when I get into this conversation with folks. One is a religious issue. The other one's not religious at all. The other one is social. The religious issue, let's talk about that. When they discuss the religious issue, my position always, a short discussion for me, when you discuss Jesus Christ and the religion and the religious issues there, and you associate it with this question, you got this picture of Jesus that we've all had in our homes, in my homes, in my community, in churches, that depict this Caucasian-looking fellow as Jesus. My response is simply, to me, religious-wise, religion-wise, it does not matter what race Jesus was. What matters to me is the teachings and the life of this man. I don't know what I wasn't there. I don't know what he looked like. But that's not what's important to me. Now, you could raise all kind of hell about this picture looking like a white guy. But on a religious, in a religious framework, on that issue of religion, I squashed the question right away. We got to move on. Because for me, it's the teaching. For me, it's the life of Jesus of Nazareth. It's not about what race he was. And a religious concept, a religious framework, that's irrelevant. We don't even have a picture. And in fact, in some religions, you shouldn't have pictures of your Savior. Graven images or whatever. However, two issues, religious and social. Well, on the religious issue, I squash it right away. Race has nothing to do with what I've learned about the life of Jesus and from the life of Jesus Christ. So I moved that issue, guys. I'm sorry. I ain't going to stay there and argue with you about this race thing when it comes to religion. I know where I stand on that. No doubts. I have a good relationship with Jesus Christ. I'm going to admit to you, and some of you better admit to me, because I'm not out here by myself. My mind still puts up that picture when the word Jesus Christ comes up. I'm old enough to know better about that picture, I think, but it's irrelevant to me and my religious beliefs and devotion and faith. I want to get that out of the way, but I said two issues. The second issue that comes up has nothing to do with religion when we talk about this picture. The second issue is a societal issue. Because this comes up because, keep in mind, maybe you don't know this. Let me just put this out. I do a lot of study, and so sometimes I'm doing science, and I'm studying about the brain, the human mind, That's people out here who know more about your brain than you do. Your mind than you do. They've researched it. They know your conscious from your subconscious. It's well known now. And they know that your subconscious is like a recorder. Your subconscious look for patterns, things that happen the same way over and over again. Your subconscious say, oh, I got that. That's going to happen the same way every time. I'm going to lock that in. Even if it changes over time and doesn't do the same thing, your subconscious don't pay attention to any changes. Your subconscious said, this is the way it always is, and that's it. Your subconscious have a mind like if you out rabbit hunting and you see something move in the grass, your subconscious mind says, and you wonder, is that a rabbit? Your subconscious mind says, well, it looked like, it walked like a rabbit. It got ears like a rabbit. Shoot it. Must be a rabbit. It might not be a rabbit. But your subconscious mind only records what you've been told and sold. I want you to listen to me. Scientists know, and some of you do if you've done your research, that your subconscious mind don't give a damn what you think. Your subconscious mind records things and locks them in as fact. This is the way things work. Always work that way. No, they don't. They change. Your subconscious mind doesn't keep up with the changes, the latest changes. It's looking for patterns, same shit over and over again, so it can lock it in. So people who know that must be aware that if you show me a picture, if you show me a picture of a man, Caucasian or whatever, and you associate that picture with my Savior, Jesus Christ, and you do that enough times, say 2,000 years, times, I don't care how intelligent I think I am, how educated I've become, evolved and woke. That picture is going to come and pop up in my mind. The first day somebody says Jesus, or what does he look like, or a picture. First time I see that picture, I can't help it. You can't help it. Don't blame yourself. Don't blame yourself. It ain't your fault. It ain't your fault. It ain't your fault. There are people who know more about how your brain works than you do. Let me tell you a story. Quick story. I heard a song on the radio. Terrible song. I didn't like the lyrics. I didn't like the music. I changed channels. But I'm coming home from work every day, and that song comes on the radio. Top 10, I guess. One day, about a week or so later, I'm working on my car. And do you know, I went to humming that song to myself. I hated that song. I don't know why anybody bothered writing it when I first heard it. But I heard it every day. And I admonished myself for having sung that song, hummed that song to myself while working on my car. I hate that song. Why am I singing it? Why am I even humming this stupid song? I know why now. I had a chance to look at the science of the brain, and they can make me hum that song. It can make me, I don't like being messed with, guys. But they can mess with me. And they can mess with you. Play that song every day. They know that if they play that song every day, whether you like it or not, you're going to be walking or you're going to know that song. That's the way your mind works. And I don't care how educated you think you are, woke. Think you are. They know that that's the way your subconscious works, and they play on that, guys. The whole commercial industry, advertising industry, they've learned how your brain works, brother, and you don't. That's the problem. They know, and you don't. So it ain't what you know. I don't care how smart you are. It ain't what you know. It's what you don't know that'll take you down through there. It ain't what you know, brother. It's what you don't know. What you don't know is they know, scientists know, and have known how to play with you. And you had no idea they could do that. Well, I experienced it. I caught myself humming a song I hate. I didn't like the first time I heard it. Never did. Next thing I know, I'm working on my car. I'm not thinking, and I'm humming. And I realized I'm humming that stupid song. I'm humming some stupid Macarena or some stupid song. Anyway, that's why I don't blame you. That's why I don't want you to blame yourself. That's why it ain't your fault. There's people who know more about your brain and how it works than you do, and they can play you. Check this out, guys. I'm reading about this brain thing. The guy who's doing the presentation says that when a woman gets sexually excited, blood rushes to her lips, one part of her body. Blood rushes to several parts, but blood rushes to her lips, so her lips get very sensitive and reddened from the rush of blood to her lips. So her lips become very sensitive. Somehow in the back of your mind, you know that. So the guy who did this presentation said that's probably why, he's just speculated, but I guess. But he said that's probably why when you see a TV commercial with a pretty woman on there, oftentimes they'll put red lipstick on her. Because unbeknownst to you, your subconscious, your body and mind has clicked that that's a woman that's hot. She ready to go. She's sexually excited. She hot and bothered. You ain't thinking that, but your body is thinking it. Your subconscious says, oh yeah, let's look at that. Let's keep our eyes on that. The commercial industry knows how your brain works and you don't. So I ask this about this second issue with Jesus Christ. If it doesn't matter what race Christ is. White. We're going to discuss that issue. Nothing to do with religion when I get back. You're listening to Revolutionary Life, where we look at life from a revolutionary point of view. I said there was two issues that comes up when people discuss the pictures we've seen of the man who is often referred to as Jesus Christ. When he's depicted, he's often depicted using a phenotype of Caucasian, a white man, a European. And those people, and that's controversial among some people because they say clearly the man was clearly born in the Middle East. How does he look European? And I told you, on the two issues come up, one religious and one social. I told you on the religious level, I cut that conversation short real quick because it's the teachings of Jesus Christ. It's the life of Christ that is important. Doesn't matter to me religiously from a spiritual standpoint what race Jesus was. Irrelevant to me. But the second issue that comes up is not irrelevant to me. The second issue that comes up is a social issue, social engineering issue, I guess you could call it, because even though, and I told you that in the state of the mind, the subconscious records pattern. If I associate the name Jesus with that picture for 2,000 years or 100 years, are just 30 years. Let's say you 30 years old. That's what you've been told. That's what you've seen associated, whether you were told it or not. You've seen the association, and you can probably, and if you were born in this country, but it doesn't matter now. Anyway, you probably associate that picture with Jesus of Nazareth, the one they call the Christ. Why do I have a social issue with that? Because right now, as we're speaking in the country, there's a race issue. Most people will tell you we need to talk about race. We still need to resolve this race issue. We still need to sit down and have a discussion about race. You hear it all the time. This country still hasn't had a serious discussion about race. You hear that all the time. Have a serious discussion about race in this country. You're hearing that in 2021. And this country is damn near 300 years old. But I understand. I do understand. I understand that racism has been legal. And I said legal because it was only with a law. So obviously it was not against the law. So racism has been run rampant, has been legal in this country for most of the history of this nation. So of course we still have, we're in long ways. There were slaves in the 1600s before the country started. There were slaves in the 1700s after the country started. 100 years later, damn near, we had the 13th Amendment to the Constitution that outlawed slavery. The singling out and the oppression of a specific group of people for economic exploitation. Then we had Jim Crow. Wait a minute. 1865 was when the 13th Amendment to the Constitution outlawing slavery in all its territories, in the U.S. territories, the U.S. in all its territories, except as punishment for crime. We'll get to that. On the other hand, 1865, 1968, 100 years later, Martin Luther King was shot dead for fighting for civil rights for the same people. that were freed from slavery 100 years ago. Still going, Jim Crow. So when you add up the years and you realize the United States is just 300 days, quite 300 years old, baby, yeah, we got some talking to do. We've been racist longer than we have. So I agree. So I don't have a problem with people saying we need to sit down and have this talk. Of course we do. It's going, if we've been racist that long, my God, it's going to take a little bit longer for us to shake that off, isn't it? So good. Yeah, we do. We got to have that talk. We got to resolve this issue. It's hundreds of years old. So it's not going to just go away tomorrow. Unless we bring it to a head, unless we address it. And so, what would anybody who's fully aware that if you continue to associate that picture with that name, that subconsciously in 2021, subconsciously, if I say Jesus, or if I show you that picture, you're going to say that's Jesus. They have the science, and always had, to know that. And have a long time, let's put it that way. They understand your brain well enough to know that. I told you. I told you what they know. I told you that a scientist was giving this demonstration, and he was saying that when a woman gets sexually excited, blood rushes into her lips. They get very sensitive for the kissing, you know. They get very sensitive, and they get flushed. Red with blood. And subconsciously, you know how to identify that she is hot and bothered. She's sexual. She's in a sexual mood. And then the scientist stopped in the middle of that conversation. Now, that could be why, speculating, I guess, that could be why in commercials, when they put a pretty woman out there in a car commercial or something, they have put red lipstick on her because subconsciously, unbeknownst to you, guys. That's what I'm talking about. I don't like people to play with me, let alone play with my mind. You don't have a right to manipulate me. The scientist says maybe that's why commercials put red lipstick on their models, because subconsciously, while you're sitting there not knowing it, your mind is saying that woman is worth watching. Stare at her. Look at her while I sell you this car. What attracts your eyes? What keeps you looking at that commercial? You don't even know. They do. They know more about your brain than you do. So listen. So they know that if they keep showing that picture, you're going to keep bringing up that facial characteristic, that genotype, that race as your savior. And you're not going to be able to help it. You're going to be like me working on my car humming a song I never liked because I heard it over and over again. It ain't your fault. Don't blame yourself. They know more about your brain than you do. So the most I can come up with on a social issue that for them to continue you to show that picture without an asterisk next to it saying this is not the real picture of Christ. This is a depiction. Without clearing that up for people, they've allowed it to go on and on and on. To me sitting right here today, if you show me a picture, that white guy in that picture, looking like the one on my grandmama's wall, I'm going to say, oh, that's Jesus. My back of my mind is going to say, I might not say it out loud, but my subconscious is going to say it, man. It's been drilled in there. I've been told and I've been sold all my life that my Savior looks like that. Nobody disputed it all my life. It's just like America. If you've been racist for most of your life, this country has been racist for most of its life, it's going to take a while to straighten that out. If I've been told this and sold this for most of my life. It's embedded in my subconscious, and I can prove it. Pull a picture of that white guy up. And my mind said, Jesus. My intellect could say, oh, but that's not really Jesus. That could be Jesus of Middle Eastern. He wouldn't look European like that. That can't be Jesus. I mean, I saw the History Channel. Did you guys see the History Channel where they tried to reconstruct what Jesus looked like? Man, when they got through, it looked nothing like that guy in that picture. Didn't look nothing like a European. Dark hair, dark eyes, dark skin. Didn't look anything like a European. They reconstructed that picture. I put it on this radio show. You'll see it go by if you're watching the show. History Channel did this whole thing on reconstructing what Jesus might have looked like. There are people who can turn to the Bible and find out and see where it says Jesus had hair like the wool of sheep, like sheep's wool, and skin of bronze. You could tell me that stuff all day long. But at the back of my mind, and I've seen in the 70s and whatnot, I've seen people actually put up pictures in their homes of black Jesuses. Black Jesus and black angels. You know, all angels are white also. All the little baby angels are white as well. Now, recently, they've changed. You know, you can find little artifacts and stuff that are black representations of the angels. However, angels of color. However, I don't like my mind to be played with. And these people know good and well. If you continue to associate that picture, all I can imagine, all I can detect from that is that you are racist. No, not just the racist. You're promoting white. And that's when, and whether that was meant to be when this picture was drawn, when somebody first made that picture of Jesus look like European, I don't know if they purposely wanted to push white supremacy. I don't know if they're just ignorant and didn't realize the effect it would have on people if they kept associating that picture with that name, Jesus, Jesus Christ. It don't matter to me what race he was religiously, but on a social level, today, when we're dealing with racial issues, when white supremacists are marching in the street and the president is okaying that stuff, at this point in time, we got to address this issue because at this point in time, when race is an issue in America and tearing the country apart, and we ain't got that conversation to put this baby to rest, then maybe we need to look at this continued depiction. Our Lord Jesus Christ being a particular race. Because the only reason I can imagine one would continue to make that association hundreds of years later to today is they're fools, they're ignorant, or they want you to be. That's all I can figure. And it doesn't matter which one because the effect is still the same. When you hear that name, you think that picture. When you see that picture, you think that name in your subconscious love pattern. And you might not think it matters, but your body and mind does. I don't like to play with my mind. But they can. They know how. And they know good and well to continue this is doing exactly that. And so if the people who know better continue to allow this to go on, they're white supremacists. Also, that has become a tool, whether it was done on purpose or whether it was done out of ignorance, over time, that has become a tool of white supremacy. And if you're against supremacy, you must realize that socially, not religiously, socially, that needs to stop. that only continues for one reason and one reason only. From my subconscious, and whether people doing it on purpose or whether they're just ignorant, and I say they're not ignorant because I just give you examples of what they know about your brain and how it works, and your subconscious mind and how it works. But whether they do know or not, whether they're ignorant or whether they're doing it on purpose, it really doesn't matter. What they have done through this process of continuing to associate my Lord Jesus Christ with a certain race and not straightening that issue out long ago is a continuation, commission or omission, of white supremacy. And we took the rebel flag down. We took the stars and bars down. We took the statues of Confederate soldiers who fought to keep slavery going. What about this one, guys? I can only believe that we continue to do this for a reason. Whether it's ignorance or whether it's on purpose, the result is the same, and so it needs to be addressed. So tonight, I've chose to address this issue, not the religious part. I don't even get into that conversation, because it doesn't matter to me what race Jesus Christ was. I'm into the teachings. I'm into the life of the man. Don't bother me with how tall he was, or how short he was, or what his race was. But when it comes to the society that I live in and was raised in, that I must live and raised in, today my society is having a race issue. Again, like it went away. A race issue is tearing us apart. White supremacists are marching in the street along with Nazis. Then it's time to raise this issue again. This is a time to talk about it, because there's one more remnant. There's one more artifact still hanging around that has become a symbol of white supremacy, that has become a tool, not a symbol, but a tool, a working tool of white supremacy. Not only that, it works subconsciously, unbeknownst to you even. But you can see the effects in a minute. All I got to do is show you a picture of that white guy on my mom, grandma's wall, and she'll tell you who it is. Today, if she was here today, would tell you that's Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. That white guy is your Lord and Savior. And my subconscious, after all those years of hearing that, still rattling around in my brain. It's enough. After you've been doing something so long, after America's been raised so long, it can take a while to straighten it out. After you've been doing anything for so long, it takes a while to change behavior. I'm working on mine, because I know what happened to me. I know how they played me. I know how they played my grandma. I know how that image showed up everywhere in association with that name. And I know it's locked in her mind, and it's locked in mine. It keeps popping up in mine. I don't like to be played with. I don't like my mind to be screwed with. Get up off of my mind. You do it enough with commercials. White Jesus Day socially is no more than an artifact, a remnant of a white supremacist effort to place white supremacy in every sphere of our lives, not just, you know, not just in a business, not just in our working lives, in our social lives, in our educational institutions where racism practiced. It was also practiced in our religious institutions. They all practice it in all the institutions of the society for hundreds of years. It's going to take a while to get over there. But now is the time. That day is coming. That day is here. White supremacists march in the streets. And the presidents and the people running this place think that's all right. So if you're a white supremacist, there's no way you want to get rid of a white Jesus. You can make people respond to that picture subconsciously. You can put an ape, you can put a white sheet on, a white robe on, let your hair grow. If you're white, if you're a slim white guy, put on some sandals and put a and wear a cross up and down the street, like up and down the street downtown with a cup and a bucket. And people will put money in. That picture, that depiction moves people. Of course it does. It makes them think of the story of our Lord Jesus Christ. Even though he didn't look like that, he wasn't Western European. He wasn't French or English. He was born in the Middle East, guys. There's a picture on my site of the History Channel trying to reconstruct a face that might look like people of that time, and it looks nothing like the picture on my grandmama's wall. I don't give her any trouble about it. I understand. It ain't her fault. That's my rant. Two issues come up when this picture come up. One, religious. I square that in the way right away. Don't make me dipped about his race. I'm into his life and his teachings. It was a social issue that my family suffers to this day, is branded into their mind purposely or out of ignorance. You guess which one. Doesn't matter to me. The effect is the same. My folks associate that picture with their Savior, with their Lord and Savior. The Savior, Lord and Savior. If my grandmother looked like a Western European man, always have. And I was brought up to look up to that picture as well. I don't care how intellectual you get later on in life. Once they got you, they got you. Once they got you, it's in your subconscious, man. Read a little bit about your brain. Learn how commercials work. Learn how advertising works and the science behind it. And then you know how you've been messed with. Now, when I come back, we're getting close to our call-in section. So when I come back, I'm going to give out a call-in number. And I'm going to tell you how I deal with this subconscious program 2021. I'll be right back. Thank you. Revolutionary Life. We're here every weekday night from 7 to 9 talking about just about every issue that affects our lives and from a revolutionary point of view, guys. With the racial issues going on in this country today and white supremacists marching up and down the street and growing more and more, I think it's apropos that we bring this issue and every issue that represents the promotion in this country of white supremacy to the forefront and deal with it. Now is the time. It's because now is the time that we need to pick those, if we're going to deal with this question. I know we've been racist in this nation longer than we haven't, right? We're not even 300 years, and 200 years of that is racial oppression. 250 years of that is racial oppression. And we're talking about racial issues today. We haven't dealt with it because we've been racist longer than we've been a country. Laws against racism are relatively new here in America, comparative to the history of this nation. So yeah, we got a long ways to go. Yeah, we still need to talk about this issue. Yeah, we need to point out things that represent the old racism. We got rid of the stars and bars. We've been arguing about that. We got rid of the Confederate statues. We're some of these, you know, in the military. The military is so filled with Confederate general names, the names of bases, the names of ships. I don't want to get into that issue of why we have Luke, why we have those who lost the war on there, but the issues they fought for, if they had won, we know that they were fighting to maintain slavery. And they were fighting to maintain a society where they could single out a group of people for special treatment. In particular, the exploitation of their labor. And that has continued for more years in this country history, almost in this country has history. It ain't even 300 years old. And we're talking about this issue today. So yeah, we got a long ways to go. Historically, we got a long ways to go to deal with the race issue in this country. And now is the time. Now is the time to address these issues. And so if you're looking for symbols of white supremacy, go. There is no reason to keep promulgating this picture, this depiction of our Lord and Savior as any particular race. It ain't necessary unless you'd like to push the idea of a race, unless you know the psychological effects that associating that name with that picture, your Savior's name with that picture does to people. Then it's time to stop it. Whenever you see that picture, if you see that picture, it needs to have an asterisk, a footnote, an asterisk next to it. And when you read the footnote just said, this is not actually a depiction of our Lord and Savior. It is one that was chosen by an artist a long time ago. And it hasn't significantly changed since. But this is not the way. This is not an exact depiction of what our Savior looked like. He was not, he didn't look like that. Don't get it twisted. There should be a don't get it twisted sign right next to every picture like that. Then you're making some things right. It'd be just as well if you just took them all down. I mean, for as I'm concerned, I don't care about what race on the religious level. I told you that. I don't argue that. But on a social level, take them down. Don't change the color of them. Take them down. Because if you agree with me, it don't matter. And if it don't matter, why have one at all of any race? And of course, if you go with the History Channel, it'll be one that looked like the model they came up with. You know, closer to the truth, I guess, of what those people who were born in the Middle East looked like back in those days. So my lines is open. This is my call-in section, guys. My phone number is 319-527-6060. 319, area code, 527-6060. I also have my chat room open. So if you call me, you're coming online. Everybody's going to hear what you say, and everyone's going to hear my response. If you want to just write something, you got a chat room there. You can just put your comments in chat, and I will respond to them on the air. This time of the show, I say it's your time to shine. Welcome to Revolutionary Life. If you're late getting to the show or if you missed the show, I want you to just remember that all of our shows are on demand. So if you miss the show, you can always pick it up later. Tonight, we're discussing that picture of Jesus and the controversy around it. And we only spoke about two main issues, one religious and the other one social. We squared the religious one way right away. It doesn't matter what race the man was, how tall he was, or how much he weighed. No. On the religious side, that answer is a done deal for me. On the social side, however, given that combative situations in society today, 2021, we're still dealing with the issue of race today in 2021. We still have white supremacists marching down the street today and getting support from government officials today. We got this stuff going on, guys. So today would be a good time, is apropos to bring up this subject, because they're taking down the stars and bars and the Confederate flags and the names off the bases of Confederate generals and whatnot, then every white supremacist emblem should be addressed. And one thing that has become a tool, whether it was meant to be or whether it has become a tool, whether it was done on purpose, I don't know. But what has become a tool of white supremacy is a depiction of our Lord Jesus Christ as a Western European man. And the only reason I can think that has continued this day, when everyone knows better. I told you the History Channel's got a picture right here on my site of their reconstruction of what people looked like back in them days and in that area. And it doesn't look like that guy on my grandma's wall. That picture on my grandmother's wall looks like a Western European white man. And the only reason that hasn't been addressed in the society that I can figure is the promotion of white supremacy. The only reason that hasn't been addressed is the lack of addressment to symbols and tools of white supremacy. And I taught you how they mess with your mind. Your subconscious all of a sudden starts to associate things and lock them in. And years and years later, just a picture would make you say Jesus. And just Jesus, with the word Jesus, would make you think of that picture. And it's almost as though you have no choice because your mind has been messed with. As I told you, I learned about the subconscious and how it picks up on patterns. I found out that the commercial industries and the governments and everybody have known this all the time, that they can have you singing a song that you don't even like. All they got to do is repeat it enough times. They can have you associating your Lord and Savior. Have you associate your Lord and Savior with a Western European white man without even saying the word. All they have to do is show you a picture every time they call that name. And I don't care how intellectual you are. Your subconscious say, okay, I got it. That's it. And I don't like people to play with my mind. So I find that's an issue. We need to bring that white supremacy tool down as what it is, as all it is, it can be today, as soon as possible. We don't need a picture of any color. And so, and I told you that I was going to tell you how I handled it. Well, I'll tell you real quickly. Since they know more about my mind than I do, I don't spend a whole lot of time up there unless I have to. I'm figuring out a problem, a math problem, or a feeling I literally have to recall, have my subconscious recall my social security number and address and all that kind of stuff. When I'm done with practical stuff, I come out of my mind. That's right. I come into the moment. I come to the now. I use my senses. I smell, taste, and touch. That's how I figure out what's going on in the world. That's how I deal with reality, the way I deal with it from the day I was born. I use my God-given senses. And y'all, Sometimes you have to lose your mind to come to your senses. So I come out of that mind sometimes because people have been telling me what to think since I was a child. Parents, parents, teachers, preachers, TV series, movies. Folks have been telling me what to think since I was a child. So sometimes I don't even know if I ever had an original thought. An original thought that I didn't pick up in a movie, a TV series, or from my parents, or from my preacher, or from my teacher. Folks been telling me what to think since I was a child, so sometimes I just stop. The thinking, the thoughts. And I come into the now, in the present, the moment, and I smell, taste, and touch. And I judge my reality that way. Because I don't know what's all up there. I don't know what they've planted all up there that hundreds of years ago, before they passed on down through generations, that I can deal with. I still think of that picture when you say Jesus Christ. And I don't know when I'm going to stop. And they know that they've done it enough times that I can't resist. They know that. All has become now the division of white supremacy. And the only way I handle people playing with my mind is I come out of there. I let them play by themselves. And I just live well seeing things the way they really are by using my God-given senses. And the more they grow, and they grow like anything else grows, you pay attention to it. You give it some attention, and they'll grow. When I smell it, taste it, and touch it, and hear it, and see it, without comment, without judgment, I see it for what it really is, and not what somebody told me when I was a child, or a teenager, college student, what the world was like. Sometimes you have to lose mind to come to your senses. That's what I do. I quit thinking sometimes, and I just sense like I did when I was a child before I learned how to use language to obscure meaning, how to use language to hide feelings, before I learned the tricks. Before I learned any language, any tongue, I used my senses to detect what was going on around me. And I practice that today. You listen to Revolutionary Life. This is the call-in section of the show. Our area code is 319-527-6060. 319-527-6060. And we have our chat room open. Questions and comments can come into the chat, or you can call straight in and go right online. Take your time. It's your time to shine. Just like jazz, you listen to Revolutionary Life. Something unique about jazz, guys. A unique thing about jazz is when you see jazz live, or you hear improvisational, or you see improvisational jazz special. You hear jazz live, you know you're hearing it for the first and last time. You know if you don't record it, you'll never hear it that way again. But folks, the musicians that play together like that and make beautiful music, original, on time, at the moment. You got to live in the moment, baby. You got to live the music. You got to be there. You got to listen to everybody, and you got to play with everybody. You got to organize with everybody. You got to make it. You got to harmonize with everybody. And every jazz, as you record jazz, Jack, you're going to miss it. They don't run soundtracks. Samplings. I don't know, maybe smooth jazz, I don't know. But real jazz, it's original every time you hear it, baby, if you live. You got to be in the moment, and that's the way I have to live. Because this conversation has talked about mind manipulation. Somebody been showing me an association all my life between the word Jesus and a picture of a white guy. And I know they know better. I explained that they know better. They taught me how they know better. I understand. They taught me about the subconscious mind. They taught me how commercials play with your subconscious mind, unknown to you, to keep you watching that screen. When you know better, you do better. I don't like people playing with me. I don't like people playing with my head. So I come out of there sometimes, and I do like these musicians. I live in the moment. I eat the moment. I feel it. I smell it. I taste it. I touch it. I use my senses on it. I have to lose my mind to come to my senses. I lose my mind. I come to my senses because people have been telling me what to think since I was a child. In fact, some guy told me that the government got a program, MK Ultra. The government's got a program where they can put thoughts in your mind. So I come out of there, Jack. I don't know what they know. I know they know more than me about my mind. So I come out of there ever so often. And I live in the moment. I live in the present. I live in the now. Not on what I've been told. So you might try it. It's like jazz. It's original. Have you ever had an original thought? Come on now. Thank you. There's something tearing our communities apart. There's something tearing our country apart. And it's this lingering racism. And it's raised its ugly head recently with white supremacists walking the streets. The concept of one race being supreme over another is only going to be addressed when all those emblems that promote that theory and ideas that promote those theories are addressed, are taken away. And one of them is a depiction of my Lord, Jesus Christ, as some Western European guy. Means nothing to me when it comes to my spirituality and my religion and my faith. It means everything to me when I see it tearing my society apart. Race against race. One race better than the other race. The only reason to continue to promote this idea, even if you leave out its psychological, is to continue to promote white supremacy. So there's one more emblem that needs to be of white supremacy. There's one more tool. Excuse me, of white supremacy that need to be taken down. And that's this depiction of Jesus Cristo. That's this depiction of Jesus of Nazareth, the one they call the Christ. Why do they keep doing that? The only reason they can continue to allow this association is out of ignorance, maybe they don't know any better, or on purpose. I don't know which one. I don't really care because the effect is the same. It promotes to our deepest subconscious white supremacy. Maybe that was his purpose. Maybe that became, doesn't really matter. Today, with our society and strife around race, we got to start addressing this question. And everybody says, hey, we got to have, we sooner or later, we got to sit down and have this talk about race in this country. Yeah, we do. Because we were in a racist country. This country ain't 300 years, guys. Race is well over 200 years. And this, even before this became a country. So yeah, we've been racist longer than we've been none. Longer than we've had laws against racism. Long as we had laws against discriminating against people based on their race, creed, and kind. And so, sure, we got a long ways to go. I understand that. Let's start here. I mean, we got the flag down. We got the stars and bars. And we got the Confederate generals who would like to keep everything just the way it was. And y'all remember the way it was. And now here's one more tool of white supremacy that we need to take down. And maybe Jesus Christ in the future, our Lord and Savior, will have no picture. Is that necessary? I told you when I argue with these people, I tell them on a religious level, I could care less how much Jesus weighed or how tall he was or what color he was. I follow the man's history, the man's life and teachings. But on a social level, I'm watching my society being ripped apart and the rise of one race better than another supremacy. And so for that picture to still be there in my society, as my kids are, as kids are coming up, seeing this association everywhere they look, including grandmama's wall and in the homes of a lot of my family members, probably. Needs to change. That needs to stop. We don't need that, especially now. Just another tool to promote white supremacy. That's all it has become. We don't need that, Christians, do we? Really? We wear the cross. It doesn't have necessarily have the crucifixion of Jesus, an actual depiction of the body of Jesus on it. Some crosses may still have that. But we wear crosses as jewelry sometimes. We don't have to put the man on the cross every time. We know what that cross stands for. The only reason to depict him as a race today and to continue that today as a particular race today, I could only serve the interests of white supremacy. Let's take it down. If we don't take it down, let's look at the History Channel and see that picture, that thing they put together, that man's head that they fashioned to look like Christ might have looked in that day. And let's use that if you need a picture. But we don't need a picture, do we? We know the man's life. We know the man's life when we study it. We don't need a picture. And today, before our society is totally ripped apart by racism, we need to address this issue. And that was my story tonight. That was my revolutionary look at this controversy about the depiction of Jesus as this Caucasian, as this Western European individual. And it only had two sides, one religious and one society, and the social one concerns me very much. I thank y'all for listening in tonight. Again, this is Gary, and our show is Revolutionary Life, where we look at every aspect, even religious. We look at every aspect of our lives, things that affect our lives, and a revolutionary point of view, from a revolutionary point of view. Change. That's all revolution is, change. The revolutionary knows that change is inevitable. What makes him a revolutionary is he's on the vanguard of that change. He's up front. He don't wait till it happens and come running along later. And he doesn't try to hold back change. That's the definition of a reactionary. You listen to Revolutionary Life. Tonight we talked about that picture of Jesus and its controversy. Tomorrow, you better... If you ain't signed up, if you ain't come over to my, I got a Facebook page called the same name, Revolutionary Life. And if you want to get a heads up on what the subject matters are for these shows, get yourself over there and you'll be here. You have the heads up for the next show. If you missed this show, or if you want to hear it again, all of my shows are on demand. Once you come here to Block Talk Radio, you can find Revolutionary Life. You can find my shows from way back, in the way back. We've talked about every subject there is that affects our day-to-day life, and we've talked about it from a revolutionary perspective. We're here every night, from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Be there, be square. I thank everyone for listening in, who did listen in, and I'll see everyone tomorrow, 7 p.m. Tomorrow night, 7 p.m. Thank you. And good night.
Alles, was ich kann. Thank you. Ich habe es geklappt hier.